call is from a correctional institution and is subject to monitoring and recording. Go ahead with your call.
Trey.
Hey, man.
We made it. We made it past this messed up system. And
we circumvented this corrupt oppressive system. I know we didn't do any like kind of preliminary stuff, but like go, you know, just shoot for it and you know what, ask whatever you want and can, and if I can answer it, I will, you know.
Well, I'm really, really excited to call it on such a surprise.
And thanks so much for having me. It's my pleasure. I'm happy to have a voice and to use it and to get the word out to as many folk as possible.
Because awesome.
I feel, you know, the more, it's all about awareness and consciousness, and the more that we can get the word out to people and have folk be aware of what's going on, then you know, the more that we can stop some of this oppression and injustice and, you know, have some kind of reconciliation, hopefully, and some, you know, more peace and healthy planet, you know.
And I wonder if you could just talk a bit about what it's like for you to be in jail right now. Like, we know you're obviously someone who loves Mother Earth, loves the life, and you're in a very healthy person holistically, and you're in a prison for something you didn't really do.
Yes.
And I wonder if you can just talk a bit about just what it's like to be you and what your experience has been like.
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely been the most challenging thing I've ever had to endure. You know, I've been locked up now for over a year, and like you said, I mean, my connection to Earth Mother and living in nature and spending time with the trees and all our animal friends is really essential for me and my well-being, and I think really for any human. There's a native saying that goes, a person's heart away from nature grows cold, and I think it's so true. And you know, I would like to think that my heart hasn't grown cold. I still try to do what I can. You know, I still engage in yoga and some qigong to keep connected, you know, with the spirit world that way, and you know, physically active. I am blessed to be able to have a little bit of outside exposure. It's basically like a court area, so there's no exposure to the grass, unfortunately. At least at the ceiling, it's basically three-story walls. On all sides, but at least the ceiling is not enclosed. It's basically a fence, so we can't scale the walls and climb out. At least I can see the sky, and I can get some fresh air, and I can see Grandfather Sun and Grandmother Moon when they're at the, you know, the right angle, and I can get some, you know, beautiful rays right on my skin, and that really helps. You know, I'm locked up. This is a maximum security, and it's a remand center, and which is such an oxymoron, because the whole premise with, you know, innocent until proven guilty is basically null and void here, and we're basically treated like, the system as a whole pretty much treats us like scum of the earth, like so much less than human, and it's basically guilty until proven innocent, which is really unfortunate. You know, I don't have any charges in Canada. I have charges in the U.S., which are, you know, you and the other folk probably know, or, you know, related to arson, and I haven't been found guilty. I haven't even been able to, you know, state my case, really, and yet I'm basically treated as guilty until proven innocent, which is hard. It's hard to win a case, especially when I'm looking at the FBI and the government in the U.S. is basically trying to lock me up for the rest of my life, and so it's definitely been, you know, mentally and emotionally very challenging in here. The inmates on this unit, I've been moved around several different units, for various reasons. This particular unit I'm on is probably one of the best, in the sense is that the inmates are much more peaceful and less hostile. It's an immigration and extradition unit, which is where I belong anyway, and some of the other units are, there's you know, some very aggressive, violent, hostile folk, and you know, it's basically like kind of the laws of nature, where the weakest is preyed upon. And you know, my pacifism and my diet and the fact that I do yoga and that I don't engage in violence is seen as a weakness, and so I definitely have been, you know, preyed upon and assaulted, and have, you know, had my share of difficulties with other inmates. And And the staff is, you know, some of the staff they're okay, and other staff they're clearly, you know, taking this job so that they can carry out their wounds of being bullied maybe as a child, and you know, they get a bit of a fulfillment and a power trip and ego trip for, you know, taking out their power on us. And it's really unfortunate, because I can really see how some people just take this job as it's just a job, and they treat us well and they mean well, and other folks really have some serious wounds that they haven't healed, and unfortunately they take this job and instead of addressing those wounds and kind of carry on that kind of keep that cycle of bullying and oppression going. you know, and we're locked up because it is a maximum security and it's a remand center. We're very limited. I mean, they're in a sentenced center. I mean, I've never been locked up before, too. That's another thing that's been very defrauded. I've never been locked up before. So to be locked up over a year and, you know, to be away from nature, at least somewhat disconnected from it, like I said, I try to be as connected as I can, you know, has been extremely difficult. And, you know, what I've heard is even in sentenced centers, there's more programs and there's more access to, you know, to the grass and to the outside. And you know, it's very restricted here. We're locked up in a 24-hour period. We're locked up about we're locked up about three quarters of that time. So that's why calling is very difficult, and certain times are very difficult, because you know, when we are unlocked out of our cell, that you know, that's the only time that we have to get a little fresh air, possibly have visits, make some phone calls, get some food, you know, food that comes three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And actually, lunch is getting ready to be served here pretty soon, but I might have to cut out for a quick second, just grab it, but I can continue to talk for a little bit, because I'm going to eat it right away anyway. And sharing a space with someone has been very difficult too, because basically most of the cells are double bunked, so I have to be in a very very small very small quarter with another person that I don't know, and you know, it's sometimes difficult to work out a harmonious kind of interaction and relationship. And you know, I've tried my best to let the things roll that are really tough and frustrating, and you know, stay connected to family and my support crew. Like, I'm on the phone a lot to touch base with them, and I've received a lot of letters, which really helps feed my soul. And again, staying connected with the outside world as much as I can, like getting some fresh air and doing some yoga in the sun has really helped. And yeah, so those are some of the things that I've experienced in here.
Wow, it's a really intense experience. For people who are just tuning in right now, didn't catch my interview with Ben, can you maybe just spend a few minutes talking about basically why you're being held, like why the FBI is after you, that whole situation?
Okay. And again, it's extremely hard to hear you, but I think okay. I caught what you said. I'm basically being held. You know, again, I am a U.S. citizen. My name is Trey Arrow. I'm here in Canada. I don't have any Canadian charges. I'm being held basically for extradition. The U.S. and the FBI are trying to extradite me back to the U.S. For charges that I have, that they've indicted me on in Oregon, around the Portland area. I've been a longtime activist towards the environment, towards non-human animal issues, and also for human rights issues. And these particular charges, and a lot of the activism that I've been well known for, has been involved with the environment, and particularly helping to save some ancient forests and endangered species and watershed areas. So basically what happened was, for many reasons, as folk probably know, any one person or organization that really gets in the way of the corporate agenda and the government policy basically is targeted, is viewed as subversive, whether they're violent or not, and they're made out to be violent, they're made out to be, a threat. And, you know, there's a lot of negative propaganda that is disseminated. There is tons of effort and actions that the FBI and other government agencies engage in to basically, you know, neutralize and disrupt and dismantle any kind of movement and group and person that they view as, you know, getting in the way of, you know, whether it's in, getting in the way again of corporate agenda and government policy. And you know, whether it's the native folk like Leonard Peltier, who's been persecuted, you know, Fred Hampton and Martin Luther King Jr. in the civil rights movement, Judy Berry and Daryl Turney in the environmental community. I mean, the list goes on and on. And this has been basically the FBI's part of their MO since their inception way back. I think it was like in the 20s or 30s of the 1900s. And so, because I have gained a lot of international attention for the ledge sit that I engaged in, which just real briefly about that, I free climbed the U.S. Forest Service building in the summer of 2000 to protest the sale of Eagle Creek, which is an ancient forest, some of the last bit of ancient forest left in the northwest U.S. And basically, I lived on a 9-inch ledge for 11 days, and it was, you know, a lot of folks felt that it was, you know, somewhat supernatural or you know, very very extraordinary. And you know, what for me, it was just something that I felt compelled to do, and it wasn't that difficult. I had a lot of support immediately, and I was able to live on that 9-inch ledge for 11 days and up three stories above the ground and protest the sale of Eagle Creek and what the U.S. government is doing to public lands, and that they're using, you know, taxpayers' dollars. And the same thing here in BC and throughout the Canada as well. You know, they're using taxpayers' dollars to basically wipe out, you know, our ancient forests and people's drinking water and endangered species. And that action was, again, it received international attention, and it was, you know, was very nonviolent, it was very peaceful, it was very effective, and I would say that it definitely contributed to the overall sale of a cancellation of that sale, which occurred less than 2 years later. Now, because of that, you know, I was targeted. I was targeted by the FBI because of my activism, because I spoke about the lies and the corruption within the government and the corporations. I mean, when I was on that ledge, I was talking a lot about, you know, a lot of things, because they're all interconnected. You know, like, we're, again, another native saying is that we, you know, we as humans are just one thread in this web of life. We did not create the web of life. And what we do to the web, we do to ourselves and every living thing, because all things connect, you know. And so when I was up on that ledge, I was talking about, you know, the dead animals being served, you know, death on a bun from McGarbage, you know, and I was talking about landfills, and I was talking about, you know, the civil rights and, you know, and human injustices and what corporations are doing, you know, just basically for profit and for greed. And this is a big no-no to the corporate agenda. They don't want people to know all the atrocities that they are committing. They want people to just be wrapped up in the TV and working their ass off to try to pay all the bills, you know, to consume all the things that they're told that they need to have, you know. And they don't want people to really knowing and questioning what really is going on behind the scenes. And so, you know, again, for this I was targeted, and I was basically framed for these arsons that took place in 2001. There's three people that pled guilty to two separate incidents. One incident was logging trucks that burned, and another incident was sand and gravel trucks that burned. Three people pled guilty to one of the incidents, and the other incident, they're alleging that I was involved with this third person. Again, to clarify, there's, for the logging trucks, there were three people involved. For the sand and gravel, there was one person involved. And what the FBI is doing is alleging that I was involved with both of those. And so now those three people pled guilty, and they received less than 4 years sentence, and less than 3.5 years sentence, actually. And they were facing a possibility of 80 years. Now what the FBI is doing is saying that I was the mastermind and basically brainwashed them into doing these actions. And now, not only are they charging me with the same things that these three were charged, but they're charging me with some additional like pretty heavyweight charges. And if I'm found guilty on those, I literally will be locked up for the rest of my life for arson. And you know, I have been emphatically declaring my innocence, and, you know, I don't burn anything. Even when I'm in the woods, you know, spending time in nature, I don't even make a little fire with dead branches because of the extra, you know, carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide that's produced. And everyone that knows me well, knows that I live as consciously as I possibly can with as minimal impact and as little footprint on Earth Mother as possible. And the last thing I would do would be burn, you know, I don't burn anything. I wouldn't burn tires and rubber and plastic and stuff, because it creates, I understand the action, and I understand the reason why folks do those things. I personally don't engage in those actions because of the environmental impact. And, you know, I realize that they are effective, and it does hurt the, you know, the corporation in their pocketbook. And I also, you know, I personally engage, you know, in nonviolent civil disobedience, and it's been well documented, right? So, you know, basically, that's what I'm looking at. That's what I'm facing. I'm in the middle of my extradition process right now. I'm still going to have my first hearing, which is scheduled for June 27th. At that time, if I'm, you know, committed to, you know, being surrendered to, you know, for the extradition to the U.S., then I will, you know, begin the appeal process and try to stay in Canada as long as I can, and you know, try to continue to, you know, to get the word out to folk about the reason why I'm being targeted, the corruption within the FBI, and the fact that I am innocent, and that, you know, and that we all need to, you know, become more aware of what's going on and take action in whatever form people feel comfortable doing. And the more that people are aware, and the more action that is happening, and the more basically that we can remove ourselves from the corporate agenda and the mainstream dominant culture mentality of just work, 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 and consume, 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 and don't think about your health, don't think about the health of the planet. You know, the more that we can get away from that, the better that we all will be, and the more that we can dismantle this entity that is so corrupt and so ubiquitous and is very destructive, which is, you know, basically the corporate monster.
What can people do who want to help you out? Who, besides just learning more and whatnot, if anyone wants to contact anyone, or what can people do in general, pretty much?
Right, right. Well, yeah, there's a lot of things, and I'm glad that you're asking that. I mean, for me personally, you're asking what people can do to help me,
yeah,
aside from getting more aware of what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just a quick couple things, like, you know, in general, what I encourage folks to do is, like, to play more and to work less and to engage in the arts and music and to, you know, watch less TV or no TV, to drive less or don't drive, and bike instead of drive, and, you know, listen to music and play instead of watch TV, and get in touch with nature. You know, again, like, the more folks can spend time in nature, even just a few minutes a day, unfortunately, like, a lot of folks don't even do that, but the more that we can get back to nature and just listen and be part of that, the truth arises, and, you know, all the illusion and the confusion starts to dissolve when we're away from all this chaos. And even if folks don't realize that it's chaotic, you know, the more that we spend time in nature, we realize that all this man-made, person-made, asphalt and concrete and steel and working 9 to 5 Monday through Friday is just, it's all an illusion, and all the dependency on money and work is so unnecessary. It really is. And, you know, and some of the things, again, like, for me and for the broader picture, like, just the more that folks can read and get informed, whether it's going to the library and checking out all kinds of different, you know, health books and politically motivated books, to, you know, check out the website, even if you don't have a computer. Like, I don't own a computer, but I have a website, you know, and, like, you can just go to a library, go to a friend's place, and, you know, a lot of places have free access to the internet, and you can do all kinds of searching. Getting involved with local grassroots organizations and groups that are involved with, you know, non-human animal issues, like animal testing and the livestock industry, and what is going on, like, right now, the seals are being, you know, just ruthlessly murdered and slaughtered, and, you know, in the Gulf of St. Lawrence, which is just, to me, it's just such an atrocity. And that's just one small, you know, little piece of the puzzle that's going on with all the non-human animal abuse. And again, look, with human issues, with political prisoners and indigenous rights and, you know, civil rights movements and, you know, the war on not just Iraq, but the fact that the U.S. military is in, you know, over 100 countries, and they have U.S. bases in all kinds of places, and the oppression is so ubiquitous, and it is so intense. And as far as me, you know, I do have a website, like, it's treyarrow.org, my name, TREARROW.org, standing short for organization, O-R-G. And there's a whole slew of things on there that folks can do to get involved with not just me, but also, like, other political issues. I do, like, a bi-weekly update. Like, every other week I send out an update, like, about how I'm doing, what's going on with my case, and also some current political issues. Like, for example, the last thing that was sent out was talking about the seal, unfortunately, the slaughtering of the seals. Again, that's happening in St. Lawrence, that just started less than 2 weeks ago. And other political prisoners, other folks that are arrested for civil disobedience and that are given outrageous sentences and charges. People can, you know, write letters and make donations to my campaign. And again, all this information is on the website. I encourage folk that if they do want to write letters, if they could, I try to have as little impact on the planet as possible, and anything that I'm involved with, I try to have as done as consciously as possible. So if folks can and want to write, like, I definitely appreciate letters. I have to admit, I'm not the best letter writer, so at this point, if folks want to return, like, the best way, a response is to include, like, an email or a phone number, and I'm better at being able to work out emails with my support crew and make phone calls. Letter writing is very difficult for me for many reasons, but I encourage folks to use a scrap paper and scrap envelopes, or at least 100% post-consumer tree-free paper. A lot of people get, you know, they get mail, they get envelopes, and you can just, you know, scratch off the address and turn around and resend it, you know, and that way it helps save trees and saves all the chlorine bleach and all the other heinous things that go into the paper production. And as far as my legal defense, like I said, I mean, I'm facing the rest of my life in prison. I have intense legal fees. Some of these lawyers that I have are, you know, charge $250 an hour, and I by no means am wealthy and have a lot of money. I live my life as simply and frugally as I can, and I pretty much have disconnected myself from the dependency on money. And unfortunately and ironically, now that I'm locked up in a jail, I have to be pretty dependent on money to make these phone calls that are outrageous. This TELUS monopoly here, like, charges us inmates an outrageous amount of money just to make a local call, let alone a long distance call, and let alone all my legal fees to try to get myself free again, like acquitted, or get the charges dropped or whatever that might be. So Again, treyarrow.org, and you know, writing letters. The address is on the website, and yeah, and spreading the word. Again, getting involved with local organizations and grassroots networking, local, national, and international organizations, and spreading the word about my case, and you know, and the atrocities that are going on, not only with me in my case, but all political prisoners and the prison industrial complex in general, and the oppression. The systematic oppression, you know, of the poor and activists and anyone that challenges the status quo that lives outside of the mainstream dominant culture, you know, is basically persecuted and attacked and locked up. And, you know, spreading the word, talking to friends and family, talking to also, like, members of the legislative assembly and other political figures that might be able to have some kind of influence, you know, talking to some organizations that might financially support me and or at least publicly denounce what is happening to me and support, you know, my case and my declaration of innocence. Those are some really powerful things that, you know, that folks can do. And again, I'm all about communicating. I'm all about, you know, the power of the word. And so the more that we can, you know, that folks can communicate and spread the word to friends and family and, you know, and possibly some, you know, celebrities and political figures, I think the better chance that I can get all the funds I need for all my legal defense and eventually get acquitted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been spreading the word about you, Trey, talking with people.
Right on. And, thanks so much
just
for that.
Letting people know, like, what's going on, like, just what it means that, like, that honest, effective activists are so often targeted by, like, this intense police state. And just that some Black Panthers are still in prison, you know, like,
yes,
from the 70s, and they're innocent,
yes,
people who just wanted to, you know, have a community, and they're just wasting their lives away in prison.
Yes,
and it's insane.
The oppression is unfortunately growing, and at least the resistance is as well. And yeah, it's really disconcerting. Again, I have heard some of what's going on with the SEALs on the east of Canada, and I've heard about the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Queen Charlotte Islands, and yeah, it's just so disconcerting that you know, the destruction and the abuse and the oppression again is so ubiquitous. Whether it's a SEAL, whether it's a native, whether it's you know, African folk in Nigeria, whether it's the environment, trees, and the water, it's so pervasive, and it's really intense, and it's really also encouraging and inspiring to know that, you know, that elderly women are locking down and getting arrested in Oregon, you know, to help save some ancient forest, and, you know, Grandma Betty, you know, here in Canada has, like, just been a wonderful, like, great-grandmother inspiration to so many folk, and you know, women of the world are rising up, and so many people are really taking a stand against this oppression, and it's very encouraging and inspiring, and I'm really, you know, I'm really happy to see that and hear that, and I'm really glad to, you know, to be on the radio with you, Matt, and you know, to shout out to all the folk out there, you know, like, just a couple quick things. I got to go here pretty soon. I think you're in pretty soon too, but
yeah,
you know, like, something to keep in mind, like, we only have one planet, you know, and planets are hard to come by, I like to say, and, you know, the more that we can do to protect this planet, to help each other, to work together, and, you know, to communicate and to live more in circles and cooperatively and healthfully, then the more that we can really circumvent this dependency on money and the corporation, and the less that we can, you know, contribute to the destruction of our own health and to every living species, and you know, and really, the, you know, it's all about education and taking back the powers from the power that be and put it in back into our hands, and, you know, using our voice and not living in fear, living in love and living in trust and honor and respect, and knowing that those folks that are operating out of fear are really, you know, living a lie, and the more that we can really transcend that fear and stand strong, and the more that we can really, you know, break down this corruption and this oppression and live more healthily and more peacefully and more healthily, you know, more happily for every living thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. We basically have, like, a few more minutes.
Okay.
Any closing words you want to say, anything you've learned about life or anything else you want to say?
Yeah, man, I appreciate you giving me the chance, man. Again, you know, my deepest blessings to you and all the folk listening. Namaste to you all, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. I you know, again, like, would be happy to, you know, to do follow-up interviews or, you know, continue to keep in touch, And again, some things that folk can do is just continue to spread the word about not only about my case, but just in general what's going on, you know, at the hands of corporations, and that government policy is basically allowing it to happen, or basically geared to let it happen, to make it happen. And it's not the way that we have to live or really, you know, should be living, in my opinion. You know, if you take a step back and look at all the people that are miserable, that are depressed, that are sick, that are working jobs that they don't like, you know, this is not the way that we have to live. You know, we can live in harmony, we can live in peace, we can live in a place where we enjoy every day and every minute, and we play and we dance and we do music and, you know, engage in the arts and tap into that happiness and that creative spirit and spend time with nature and honor nature and live in harmony with nature instead of against it and trying to oppress it, you know, and control it and dominate it. You know, like it's not healthy for any living thing, you know. And again, if you take a step back and look at how many people are sick and how many people are pumping themselves with some kind of drug, whether it's processed white sugar, whether it's a TV, whether it's beer, whether it's cocaine or some kind of pharmaceutical drug, like so many people are on some kind of drug, some kind of numbing agent. And I think it's indicative.
You have 1 minute left to talk.
Of the fact that, you know, it's because people are living lives that they don't want to live, and we can take that step and that you know, make that change and live, create lives that bring us joy and that are respectful to every living thing. And you know, and again, there's another native saying that says, in every deliberation, we must consider the next seven generations, and that's, you know, all generations of all life, not just humans, but every tree, every rock, every plant, every animal. And yeah, you know, just the more that we can educate ourselves and take action in at whatever level people feel comfortable doing, the more that we're active and aware, then the more that we can, you know, really...
You have 15 seconds left to talk.
...affect positive change. So again, Matt, thanks so much for everything, and thanks for all the folk out there.
Thank you so much, Trey.
All right, man.
Peace out, man.
You have a great day, bro.
Okay, stay strong.
All right, man. Thanks.
Bye.
Namaste.